said this morning, if Jesus isn't better, then we're saying we're better. But God is better. Jesus is better. So before Polly comes up, let's just proclaim that together.
Amen.
As the body of Christ, one more time.
Thank you, Kelly and Kristen and Lori and Taylor. Appreciate that word. Don't you just feel the presence of the Lord here tonight? It is wonderful to be here in your midst, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And we are looking forward to what God's going to do. God is going to do something wonderful tonight. I believe that with all my heart. As we get started tonight, Lord, I just commit this hour to you, Father, and God, I just thank you for what we've experienced so far. I thank you for the prayer time that's going to follow so that we can come before you in your presence and just ask you to help us to do according to what your word teaches, Lord. And so I thank you for this divine appointment, and Father, just rule and reign here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, as you turn to John, we're going to be in John 16 tonight. But remember that Thrive is five times we're going to meet, and we're going to meet once a month. Now, one of the things that I want you to learn, and I want to have this as a goal for you, is as we work through these five sessions, I want you to learn the five things that Jesus is teaching his disciples. As you know, John 13, he's washed their feet, and in John 14, he talks about how, you know, you believe in God, believe also in me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he's talking specifically to his disciples. Judas has already left, and he's speaking specifically to his 11 disciples. Critically important what he has to say. As you know, he's going to leave, and he is then going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he's going to be arrested and go to the cross, and then ultimately the resurrection. Very important what he has to say to them. So I want you to commit with me that you'll learn these five principles that he's going to be teaching. And what did we learn last week? What was our title for last week? What did we learn last week? Abide in me. Exactly. John 15, 1. Abide in me. Tonight is we're going to talk about loving one another, because that's what Jesus talks about next. So as we look at that, I said John 16, I meant John 15, though. As you turn there, so I want you to learn as we work through this, abide in me, and now we're going to talk about loving one another. But before we get there, I just have to share this with you, because I had just a perfect Old Testament example of what it means to abide in Christ, and then for those who don't abide in Christ. I was reading the Bible story to the girls one night, and we were talking about Moses and whenever they got ready to go into the Promised Land. And so they went right up to the Promised Land. Remember that Moses had led them all out of Egypt, and there they were ready to go in, and you know the story, 12 spies went in too. believed God, Joshua and Caleb, but the other 10 said the giants are too big, it's just too much for us to do. And as you remember, they brought back an evil report. And God then, he said, because you've not believed me, he said, you will wander for 40 years in this wilderness. And actually, the 10 spies that brought back the evil report, they actually died instantly at that time. And he said, you said your children would be devoured in that land. Well, God says your children are going to be the ones that go into that land. So anyway, the people then became, they were very sorrowful. They were so, you know, now they're going to have to wander for 40 years. And they said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and go. We're going to go. And Moses said, don't go. God's not with you. And they said, we're going to go anyway. And sure enough, they gathered the group together and they tried to go into the promised land without the presence of the Lord. And as you know, they were defeated, and they were instantly defeated, and they had to come back. And when I heard that story, I was reading that story to the girls, I said, what a picture of when we abide in Christ. Hey, we can conquer promised lands, but when we try to do anything apart from Christ, it's just like them, trying to do the work of the Lord without the presence of the Lord. You know, Jesus said that. He said that, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And I said, oh, I want to share that. I love sharing Old Testament pictures and principles. Whenever you see this New Testament principle and you go to the Old Testament and you see just a perfect picture for you to understand. And I just love the way God's word just woven together, Old Testament, New Testament. Well, tonight we're going to be in John chapter 15. We're going to talk about the second principle, which is what I want you to just write that down in your heart about loving one another. Now, you should have a handout that looks kind of like this, and you see the title about halfway down the page where it says, let us love one another as Christ has loved us. Those are our verses for tonight. The reason it's halfway down the page is because I want to set the context for you, and then when we jump into the lesson, that's when it will begin, and those are simply the scripture verses that we're going to be covering. So that's the most important thing. Like I said last week, I don't have anything to say, but God's word does. So we're going to lift up the word of God, and we're going to see what it has to say. Well, as we look at this, when we talk about loving one another, you could almost say to me, Miss Polly, you know, I've got this. I pretty much know what you're going to say. You're saying we should love one another. We should be nice to one another. We should all these kind of things. But I want you to tonight allow me, as I lead you through the word, to let's look at what biblical love is. Let's take away especially what our culture and what our world teaches us that love is. We need to remove that definition out of our mind, because that is a misuse of God's word many times. Give you an example, nothing new. Back in the book of Proverbs chapter 7, and if you're not on a reading plan, I do hope and pray that you are, but this is a good thing. Proverbs has 31 chapters in it. Just read a chapter for whatever day of the week it is. But anyway, in Proverbs 7, it talks about a woman who is actually describing a seductress who is actually causing a young man to go astray. And she actually uses these words in Proverbs 7. She says, come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. And she continues, and it says that with her enticing speech, she causes him to yield. That very same word, Hebrew word, ahav, which means love in the Old Testament, is used, same thing as in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when it talks about you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your soul. So you can see that the world loves to take the word love and completely turn it to mean that which is absolutely the opposite of what it's supposed to mean. We can talk about, you know, love in today's society, you would think of, you know, I'm just going to let you do whatever you want to do, or I'm just not going to reprimand you, or I'm just going to give you what you want. Okay? Do we not hear that kind of definition of love? I want you just to erase that out of your mind. Let's look at the Bible and let's see what God says about love. All right. As we Billy Graham said this. He said the world's definition, mostly understood in terms of seeking one's own advantage, and you would probably agree with me on that. And with Billy Graham, that it is very self-centered in today's definition of love. If you look now, I want you to see this too. As you look at your passage, you can look in your Bible or you can look on that sheet there. But 12 through 17 That section right there is bracketed by almost the exact same words. As you see verse 12, it says there, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Go down to 17, it says almost the exact same thing. "These things I command you, that you love one another." But before we jump into that, that's going to be the heart of our lesson tonight. But before we jump into that, I want us to back up to verses 9, 10, and 11, because it's going to set the context for this section about loving one another. If you'll read with me verses 9 through 11, this is what the Word of God says. "As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." So in that first section, when it says, "As the Father has loved me, I have loved you, abide in my love," that sets the total context for you to understand, how am I going to love one another according to what the Bible talks about. And when it says, "As the Father has loved me," now I want you just to think about that for a minute, okay? If there is ever a relationship where you're like, that's just, I mean, you think about the love that God has for the Son, okay? You just, and what Jesus is saying to us is, "As the Father has loved me, I have loved you." That kind of love. You can almost hear Paul in Ephesians, and I know, Kelly and Kristen, this is your favorite verses, when he talks about in Ephesians, when he said, "I bow my knees," and you can literally see him like writing and just getting on his knees, and he's writing, he says, "I bow my knees to the Father who made heaven and earth, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his Spirit to be strengthened with strength in the inner man." And he writes and he says, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the height and the length and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Can you just see Paul writing that, getting on his knees, saying that you may know the love of Christ? Oh, Paul, he continues that in 1 Corinthians 13, you're very familiar with that chapter, the love chapter. He said, "I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not love, it, I become like a clanging cymbal or a sounding brass." You can imagine how aggravating that is. Just two things hitting together or just clanking in the wind. He says, I can have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge. And I can have all faith so I can remove mountains. But have not love, I am nothing. I can give all my goods to feed the poor, and I can give my body to be burned. But have not love, it profits me nothing. That is this idea of this love that God has for the Son, that the Father has. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. That's the kind of love that he is writing and telling to us Jesus is. So the first thing I want you to see under that first point right there is that Jesus loves us with the same love that the Father has for the Son. I want you to see that under that first part, that Jesus loves us with the same love that the Father has for Jesus. That's what verse 9 is teaching us. All right? I'll let you write that down, that Jesus is loving us with the same love that the Father has for the Son. And in the next verse, he's going to go on and he's going to say, "As the Father's loved me, I also have loved you." Now, here's the second point I want you to write, and you write that under that first section right there, under that first verse number 9. This is the second thing I want you to see there, is this. Jesus, our love for one another, begins in knowing and experiencing God's love. I want you to write that down, that our love for one another is going to begin when we experience God's love. Our love for one another. So before we can even talk about love in one another, we got to talk about God's love. And this is what it says, is that our love for one another begins when we experience God's love, because that's what he says. He says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Now, let me ask you, somebody in here has 1 John 4, 7 through 8. If you would read that for me, listen to what it says. Now, here's the connection I'm trying for you to get. I'm trying for you to get that as the reason we can love one another is because we have got God's love coming into us. Now, listen to this verse.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God.
Man, John, the same author, just would have written it a little later on in his life than the gospel. Same author, this is 1 John. Love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. And he says it, let us love one another, for love is of God. So you see where it's coming from. Who has 1 John 4:11? Where am I going to get my love for one another? As God has loved me, let us love one another. That's where the source is going to come from. Who has Romans 5:5?
Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Okay, so how is God's love going to get into our hearts? The Bible says by the Holy Spirit. It has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So my point being, have you ever tried to just go out and just like, you know, I'm just going to be really loving today? Have you ever tried that? You find yourself just being like, I am the opposite of love. I mean, that person is just, I remember I would be giving a talk on submission and how the wife is to submit to the husband and how what the Bible talks about in Ephesians. And I'm telling you, I would go home and it's like I was battling being submissive. It was like, you know, he would say something and it would just get on my nerves. And it never got on my nerves before. But it's just this idea. It's like you literally, where does that come from? Where is that source going to come from? It's going to come from God. It's not coming from me. It's not my idea. You know, I'm not the one who's able to carry out the command of God. It's God doing it in me. Amen? Anything we do on our own strength, as we talked about last week. But have you ever thought about this? This is a little side note here. Have you ever thought about that whatever God asks you to do, Jesus asks you to do, he's already set the example for you to do that, okay? Because he's saying, love one another as I have loved you. When he talks about forgiving one another, he says, forgive. He doesn't just say forgive one another. He says, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. He talks about receiving one another. He says, receive one another. As God in Christ has received you. Over and over again throughout the scripture, what he's asking you to do, he has done for you as well. We could go on. There's many other examples in here. Whenever you become weary and discouraged in your soul, in your struggle against sin, what does the Bible say? Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Whenever you want to take courage when being persecuted for righteousness' sake, what does Peter say? Because Jesus has suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his step. So when you get weary and discouraged, maybe you've been persecuted for righteousness' sake, just look at Jesus. He suffered for me, leaving me an example that I should follow in his steps. Do you want to be humble-minded? Remember our creed that we read this morning. Let this mind be in you. Which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal to God. And we know that fantastic creedal, early Christian creed. So whenever we look at whatever God is asking us to do, he has already done it for us. If we want to talk about husbands loving your wives, what does he say? as Christ loved the church. If we want to talk about wives being submissive to your husbands, what does he say? He says, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their husbands and everything. The point being, look to God. Look to God. He's already gone before us. He's already set the example. And it really boils down to this. 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is really one of my favorite verses. It talks about that we all, with an unveiled face, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even so by the Spirit of God. You want to be transformed? Behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We are looking in a mirror with an unveiled face, are beholding, looking as in a mirror, the glory. We are being transformed. That's why when we are looking at the Word and we see what He's telling us to do, behold, Jesus is the answer. Behold, Jesus. You want to love one another? You want to forgive one another? You want to receive one another? You want to be encouraged? You want to be able to suffer? Well, look unto Jesus. So what He's asking us to do when He says love one another, not only is it the love that the Father has for us, that He had for Jesus, that's what the love that's in us, but Jesus Himself is asking us, we can love one another because we've experienced God's love. That's how we can do it. That's how we can do it. And the last thing I want you to see here is this. It says, if you abide in me if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And now I want you to go under that verse there on your handout, and this is what I would like for you to write down is this. You will abide in his love if you keep his commandments. Isn't that what he said? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now we're going to talk about commandments in just a minute. But that's what he's saying. He's telling you to abide in his love, and then he's telling you how to do that. You will abide in his love if you keep his commandments. And I want you to think of it like this. I want you to, maybe this will help you to kind of, because it did me. This thought came to me, and I said, that's it. You know, there's a book out. It's called the five love languages, I think is what it said. And it talks about how we interpret love a lot of times, you know, whether it's gifts or whether it's this. I want you to think about this. Obedience is God's love language. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It's what the word says. That's what the word says. And I know we get a little tense when we talk about commandments, because like, hey, Miss Polly, we're not under the law. I understand that, but we're going to look at that in just a minute, okay? Because that's what the word says, right? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, all right? I want you all to turn back with me to John 14, and I want to show this to you. John 14. And I want us to look at verses 21 through 24. Just to reiterate this, that's what the Bible is teaching here. John chapter 14, and I want you to see verses 21 through 24. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, it's interesting because Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world? I mean, you can just see him sitting on the edge. You said you're going to manifest yourself to us? Well, how are you going to do that? And now, I mean, you're, what do you expect? What do you expect Jesus to say to that? What does he say? He says, if anyone loves me, do you want to see the manifestation of Jesus? This is what he says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. Wow. You want the manifestation of Jesus in your life? That's what he's saying. He who loves me will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And then he states it in the negative. To reiterate it, anytime you want to express a truth, there's many ways to do it, and one is to state it both sides. He goes on and he says, and he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So here we have where Jesus is making it very plain that keeping his word is showing that we love him. And he does not love me, does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when we look at this, again, what Jesus is expecting us to do, go back over to John 15 now, because he said, he who keeps my commandments will abide in my love. And what does he say? Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Same thing again. What I'm asking you to do is what I have done. I will empower you to do it because I have done it. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Wow. So now we're ready to start. That's set in the context. So when we talk about loving one another, you understand this love is God's kind of love. This love is coming from God. And for me to love you, to love one another, is for me to experience God's love. For me to remain or to abide in his love, it means to walk in his word and to keep his commandments. All right? That's what the word's teaching. So now let's look at this section when he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Let's read that section now. Verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Here we go again. As I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things, he says it again, these things I command you, that you love one another. So here's the first point I want you to see. You see that first verse on your handout? Just put a one by it and underline it. That's the point. I love that exegetical preaching. That really is the only way to study the scripture. It's like, what does the word say? I don't have to come up with a catchy saying. I don't have to just read the text. What? So put a one by that first, by that verse right there where it says, this is my commandment that you love one another. It has the little 12 right there. This, put a one by that. That is the first point. That's what Jesus says. This is my commandment that you love one another. So let's talk a minute about commandments, all right? Let's talk about that. So if I was to say to you, okay, Jesus says, this is my commandment, okay, that you love one another. If I was to say to you, what are the commandments of Jesus? What would you say to me? Would you say, well, I need to go back to Exodus or Deuteronomy chapter 5 and read the Ten Commandments. Where do I need to go? What do I need? Where do I need? And we know all of the Word of God is the Word of God. So it is. We know it's all one unified whole. But John is very specific. In case you were to ask that question, what is the commandment of God? I don't know what the commandment is. Well, he tells us. So I want you to flip over with me. Same author. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. All right? 1 John chapter 3. And this is what he's going to say. 1 John chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 22. All right? And this is what John's going to say. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment. There it is. And do you see what he says? This is his commandment, that you believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given to us. That ties into our lesson from last week. So here is the commandments of Jesus. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. Oh, flip over one more page to chapter 5. All right, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And look what it says here. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Take my yoke upon you. I love that. I love that. His commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that just beautiful? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love one. So this is a big deal. Can we all agree with that? Where Jesus is saying, this is my commandment. John's repeating it, that we love one another. So Miss Polly, help me to understand. I mean, I want to do this. I understand that, you know, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I place my faith in him. I turn my life over to him. Help me to understand how to love one another. Because obviously this is emphasized over and over again. And Paul is saying to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Help me to understand. So I want you to look at your handout. And do you see the yellow one? Does everyone have a yellow handout? All right. Now this is a list of the one another's in the Bible. Okay? Whenever it talks about one another, because we're to love one another, right? So here, I want you to just look at this, all right? He says, this is things that the scripture specifically says, that we are to love one another, be members of one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, be of the same mind toward one another, build up one another, be like-minded toward one another, receive one another, care for one another, serve one another in love, to not spitefully hurt one another. Is anybody coming under conviction? Okay? I mean, the answer is in God's word. Just like Eric says every Sunday, the scripture interprets the scripture. You want to know what the scripture means? Look at the scripture. Serve not to spitefully hurt one another, to not provoke envy in one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. Submit to one another in the fear of God. Do not lie to one another. Bear with one another. Now, y'all, we need that. You know, sometimes, now I know it's not you, but there are some people it's a little hard to bear with. You know, let's admit it, sometimes you're in church and they've had to bear with me. They said, I'm just going to put up with Miss Polly. I'm just going to, because I love her, so I'm just going to put up with her. You know what? Bearing with one another will go a long way. Amen. It's like, oh, Lord, this is a time to do a little bearing right here. Bear with one another. Abound in love toward one another. Comfort one another. Do not hate one another. Exhort one another. Stir up one another to love and good deeds. Do not slander one another. You slander the body of Christ when you slander one another. Do not grumble against one another. Paul said that. He said, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of light in the midst of a world that's crooked. And you shine as lights in the darkness. Amen? But do all things without disputing and grumbling. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. Greet one another. Have fellowship with one another. Amen? Is that not just an awesome list? And wouldn't it be awesome if you, like, took this and said, you know what, today, Lord, and just pick one off of them, maybe go in order, and just say, today, Lord, help me to do this. Help me, Lord, to abound in love toward one another. Can you imagine how we would be just revolutionized, how our body and our homes and our family, Lord, help me to, do you see why loving one another is a fulfillment of the law? I mean, you want to take all the whole Testament and sum it up in one word? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, body, and love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Wow. Because love does no harm to a neighbor. So do you see? His commandments are not burdensome. Love one another. How am I going to do it? God's love. How's it going to? Well, he's going to pour it into me by his Spirit. You see? So it is doable. Because God doesn't ask you to do anything that he's not already done. Isn't that so neat? Isn't that our God just so awesome? Love suffers long and is kind. If we need a more definition, God had Paul write an entire chapter on that. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, puts themselves at the last. Wow. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. Listen, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. You know, if there's prophecies, they'll fail. And if there's tongues, they will cease. And if knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but that which is perfect is come. He talks about when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He says, for we know in part, we look as in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just also as I am known. Now by these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Wow. Wow. Yes. Yes, Lord. The answer is yes, Lord. Isn't it? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want you to look at verse 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. This is the second thing I want you to see, is that Jesus Christ demonstrated the greatest love of all by laying down his life for us. Jesus Christ demonstrated the greatest love of all by laying down his life for us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And he says, I have called you friends. No longer do I call you servants. He talks about that. Who has 1 John 3:16? Because I'm getting ready to show you something that I literally stumbled across in the Word. But first of all, I want you to hear these two verses. Here's what I'm after. Here's what I want you to tune your ears into. So remember when I told you at the beginning, let's do away with the world's definition of love. Let's look at the Bible and see what it says is love. All right? Now, we've already had some fabulous definitions, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I mean, he's telling you specifically, love is not, love is. Listen to this. In tying into greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Who has 1 John 3:16? Okay. That would be a good one for you to memorize, because y'all know John 3:16. Well, this is 1 John 3:16. It says that he laid down his life. By this we know love. Remember how Paul said that you may know the love of Christ. Well, this is how we know it, because he has laid down his life for us. Jesus, once again, perfect example. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Yeah.
For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Do you hear that? He demonstrated. It means he acted. He acted. He demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I want to show you something, okay? You should have another handout, and it should say the love of God. And I want to show you what happened to me one day as I was studying and talking about love. I want you to look at that handout for just a minute. It should be actually on the back side of your sheet right there that you have, all right? So, one day here I am, and we know the verse, Romans 5:8, it's down here. But, you know, I was just thinking about love and looking at the scripture, and I was like, oh yeah, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. We all know that verse. And then it goes ahead and it says, what? Somebody quote that one for me. God so loved the world that what? I said, look at that. You know, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. That is, you know, that's so amazing how God did that. And so I continue on in 1 John 3:6, and we just read this. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for others. I'm like, there it is again, you know, Jesus, you know, talking about God's love and talking about the cross. I said, there it is again. And then I read on, and I got to 1 John 4:10. It says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Well, there it is again. You know, we're talking about the love of God, and then we're talking about the cross. I said, there it is again. God loved, and Jesus went to the cross. Well, by this time, I'm getting a little, you know, it seems like there's a little pattern going on here. Revelation 1:5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. By that time, I'm getting the pen out, and I'm like, what is going on? What, I mean, you know, there's a, what, you see how we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? Because so many times we take, you know, as we're being conformed to his image, I'm telling you, there's stuff that has got to go. There is stuff, and you don't even know that you're interpreting things according to that old man. And that's why he said, let every one of you give his body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And he says, let each one of you don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So your mind, so I'm bringing the love definition, and I'm going, that's not the biblical definition. Listen, next time, God got me on this one, because you know, it's real easy a lot of times to say, I love you. I love you. Even to people you don't know. I mean, have you ever done that? Like you met them for 2 seconds, you're like, I love you. Yeah, good. Instead of saying that, what if you were to say, I'm willing to die for you. I would die for you. All of a sudden, it kind of changes things for a minute, doesn't it? Because it's like really easy to say, cozy, warm, fuzzy feeling, right? But the Bible says, greater love is this, that you're willing to lay down your life for one another. And this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us. By this we know love, that he gave his son for us, and we also ought to lay down our life. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, dear God, dear God. So you're talking about this laying down of one's life is the biblical definition of love. Wow. Wow. Romans 5:8, that KB read. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. Again, there's that walk in love. Christ loved you. You walk in love. Next part of the verse. And given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And the last one, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me. It didn't end there. Who loved me? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. That doesn't end there. He loved you and gave himself for you. Wow. Wow. Jesus Christ was the perfect example of what it means to willingly lay down your life for one another. The last point is this in verse 16, and he goes on and he says, and I just want to throw this, you know, he says, I don't call you servants any longer, I call you friends. Because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, because all things I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. I mean, think about how that changes. You know, when you've got that one in the church, you're, you know, down the street that you need to bear with a little bit, and you're like, you know what? You know what? I'm his friend. I love my friends. I'm not just doing this because I've been commanded to do it. I'm a servant. I'm commanded to do it. That's what I need. It's like, he's my friend. He called me friend. Yes. Yes. I'm compelled. Paul says this, the love of Christ compels me. It compels me. He calls us friends. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. And I said to myself, now why is he talking about bearing fruit in the middle of a passage that's talking about loving one another? We're talking about loving one another. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go bear fruit. KB, I appointed you, Jesus says, to bear fruit. Allison, Jesus says, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Lauren, Jesus says to you, I appointed you to go and bear fruit. And here's the amazing thing. That fruit will remain. That's eternal fruit. So here's my point. Do you see that? Why is he talking about fruit? No, we just talked about fruit last time. Why is he talking about fruit in the midst of loving one another? Because when you love one another, you are bearing fruit that will remain. You're being obedient to God. You're following what he has said. You have been chosen. This is the point under verse 16. You have been chosen and appointed by Jesus to bear fruit. Loving one another is bearing fruit. All of us want to be fruitful in our lives as Christians. Of course we do. Did he not say this? By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. And yes, we want to bear fruit. Guess what? When you're loving one another, remember that list, the one another's? You're bearing fruit. Hey, that fruit's going to remain. And not only that, but it's going to affect your prayer life. Now, we're going to get into that because that's going to be one of our five. Is we're going to talk about prayer down the road, okay? But that, your fruit's going to remain. You know, when Peter was writing and he was listing a lot of characteristics, talking about how his divine power has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, he made a list. First of all, before I get there, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5. What is it? Love, absolutely. Love, joy, peace, patience, the list. But it starts with love. And then Peter, when he's talking about, he says, add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to your self-control perseverance. Add to your perseverance, I'm running out of room. Add to your perseverance brotherly kindness, godliness. Add to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And add to your brotherly kindness, guess what he puts on the top? What's the cherry on the top? Love, that's right. Because he says, if these things are yours and abound, guess what? You're not going to be barren or unfruitful. There you go again. When these things are yours and abound, you're not going to be. So when you love one another, sister, you are bearing fruit. You are bearing fruit, and that fruit is going to remain. As we close tonight, why is this important? It's really very, very simple. Very simple. Why is this so important? That you've studied this tonight and you've learned these principles. To put it into action. Yes. To live it out. It's very simple because Jesus commanded us to love one another. And he said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Who wants to be in that camp? Who wants to be in the camp that says, I love Jesus? Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And Jesus said this amazing verse also in John. He said that all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Chapter 13, verse 35. I want to close with this. I want to take you on a 2,000-year journey, and I want to take you back to the time of the early Christians. It's like, wouldn't you just love to get a peek in on their life? Well, I'm going to take you there. I'm going to take you there, and I'm going to tell you what was being said about them, all right? This particular letter that I'm going to read to you, they don't even know who wrote it, but they know who they wrote it to. And his name was Diogenes, A.D. 130. A.D. 130, that's only like 40 years after John the Apostle lived. And listen to what they said about the Christians. I'm only going to give you a small section of it. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners, as citizens, they share in all things with others and yet endure all things as if foreigners. They marry, but as do all others, they beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. One of the things that Christians were known for in the early church was that when people would have babies that they did not want, they would take them out to a cliff in order to abandon them and to leave them. And the Christians would come, and they would come, and they would pick up those babies, and they would take them home. They went, and that's one of the things. Who are these people? Who are these people coming and rescuing these babies? Oh, they're Christians. That's what it means. It says that they are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. I'll go down a little further. They are evil spoken of, and yet are justified. They are reviled and blessed. They are insulted and repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice as if quickened into life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners and persecuted by the Greeks, yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. To sum it all up in one word, what the soul is to the body, that are Christians in the world. Talk about salt and talk about light. Listen to this. Aristides, AD 125, even earlier. This is what he said about Christians. They walk in all humility and kindness, and falsehood is not found among them, and they love one another. They despise not the widow and grieve not the orphan. He that has, meaning he who has, distributes liberally to him who does not have. If they see a stranger, they bring him under the roof and rejoice over him as if he was their own brother. For they call themselves brethren, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. But when one of their poor passes away from the world, and any of them sees him, he provides for his funeral burial according to his ability. And if they hear that any of their number is imprisoned or oppressed for the name of their Messiah, all of them provides for his needs. And if there is among them a man, get this, that is needy and poor, and they have not an abundance of necessities, that means there's a brother among them who's needy or poor, and they don't have an abundance of necessities, they fast 2 or 3 days that they may supply the needy with their necessary food. Last one, Tertullian, scholar from 160 to 225 AD on North Africa shore. Christians, the pagans would look at them, and you know what they said about them? Tertullian writes, this is what they said. See how they love one another. He says this, on a monthly day, if he likes, each puts in a small donation, but only if it be his pleasure and only if he's able, for there is no compulsion, all is voluntary. These gifts are not spent on feast and drinking bouts and eating houses, but to support and bury poor people, to supply the wants of boys and girls destitute of means and parents. and of old persons confined now to the house, such too as have suffered shipwreck, as and if there happen to be any in the mines or banished to the islands or shut up in the prisons for nothing but their fidelity to the cause of God's church, they become the nurslings of their confession. But it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another. They say about us how they are ready even to die for one another. That's our heritage. That is the story of the ones that have gone before us. Jesus said, they will know you by your love. Amen. Father, thank you for our time of sharing as we go into prayer, God. May we just pour our heart out before you, God, and ask you that which you've already promised, that you said, that as you have loved us, that we are able to love one another. So God, we just ask right now that, Father, we will carry out your command to love one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, thank you. Amen. Amen.